first readings from Jonah, chapter 3, verses 1 to 5 and 10, and it's the conversion of Nineveh. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk. And he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it.
And the second reading is taken from Psalm 62, verses 5 to 12. "For God alone my soul waits in silence, for my hope is from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my deliverance and my honour. My mighty rock, my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up. They are together lighter than a breath. Put no confidence in extortion, and set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God, and steadfast love belongs to you, O Lord. For you repay to all according to their work."
The third reading is from Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 20. First part is the beginning of the Galilean ministry. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "Time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." Then Jesus calls the first disciples. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him.
Thank you, Andrew, and thank you to Leon and Yvonne for those readings. That last reading about the first disciples, I think Flo and Edward are working hard on a colouring in sheet and maybe a word search on the back, and done it, sorted. Did you help? No, not much. Okay, right, fair enough, yeah. If there are any other adults who are easily bored, feel free, I have one spare sheet here. I don't know, Joy, would you like one? There we go, a word search. Always handy, isn't it? Good, thank you. They're great stories, actually, today. After the big fish spits him out, the word of the Lord comes to Jonah a second time. And this time, Jonah repents and obeys. Now, Nineveh is big, as Leon read to us. In fact, the version Leon read said it took 3 days to walk across it. Now, the M25 is 40 miles from one side to the other, so I reckon a good walker could do that in 2 days, actually. So if Nineveh, well, I mean, that makes Nineveh bigger than the M25, which is a stunning size, isn't it? I think more likely, some of our Pew Bibles say, it took 3 days for a visit to Nineveh, to see all the sights of the place and to go round it and so on. But the shock in the story is in verse 5, because Jonah proclaims judgment on the city, as Leon proclaimed it good and loud, and the people actually repent and turn to God. And that was shocking, genuine, heartfelt repentance. And I think that indicates that sometimes God goes ahead of us and prepares the ground, a little bit like a gardener preparing the soil or a farmer digging in manure and compost and so on. God's Holy Spirit prepares the ground for us. I think Tim actually gave us a great example of that when he told his story to the Polish cooks, the chefs, and they were all ears, weren't they? They were listening, they were ready. They were, if you like, prepared soil in their hearts. Poor old Jonah, you know, the enemy, the people of Nineveh, the people you least expect, these Gentile foreigners that he'd written off, they turn to God and become disciples. And so God had compassion on them, and God held back the judgment that he had threatened. What a result for the people of Nineveh. Do, by the way, do read the story of Jonah. I actually think it's a really funny story, actually, because when these foreigners turn to God, Jonah gets thoroughly annoyed and grumpy and fed up with it. Even the animals start fasting and praying to God, would you believe? Jonah didn't expect that at all. What he wanted was he wanted God to judge the people of Nineveh and punish them, because they're the enemy. So when they turn to God and God has compassion on them, Jonah gets fed up. He goes into a massive sulk. He's fed up with God being kind to his enemies. And in the end of the story, God gives him a dose of sunburn and a sound ticking off for being so grumpy and mean-spirited to foreigners. Jonah's not a good disciple at all. It's actually the foreigners who are the good example to us, the ones who turn to God. Whereas Jonah, bless him, I mean, in a sense, he's the hero of the story, but in another sense, he's very ordinary and fallible, and he shows us that God can use even ordinary people like Jonah. Anyway, and then Yvonne read Psalm 62 for us, which is the prayer of a faithful disciple, a worshipper. And that's, if you like, the takeaway for me from today's readings. That's what God wants. He wants people who turn to him and trust in him willingly, not reluctantly. Towards the end of the psalm, it's got a lovely phrase there. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. Or I think the version that Yvonne read, once God has spoken, twice I've heard. Now you might think they've got a problem with their arithmetic, they can't count. But actually I think what it's saying is that God doesn't have to say it twice, because we are all ears. A good disciple listens to God and is eager to hear from him. We've got one mouth and two ears, and the experts say we ought to listen twice as well as we speak. And that's what this psalm is saying. It's saying a good disciple really hangs on God's word, God's message, listens to him, much as Tim did when God said, go on, go and speak to those chefs, tell them your story. So let's determine to do that ourselves today, to be disciples who listen to God and tune in to him. in our gospel reading from Mark 1 that Leon read, Jesus goes into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The Greek word is the kairos. Chronos is watch time, if you like, but tick, tick, tick. Kairos is the moment, the golden opportunity, the right time. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is near, right now. Repent and believe the good news. What happens? Well, the first disciples respond. Simon and his brother Andrew, James and his brother John. And Mark's gospel, more than all the others, Mark's gospel emphasizes how they dropped everything and ran and followed Jesus. They didn't hesitate at all. It says, at once they left their nets and followed him. Without delay, he called James and John, and they left their father and followed him. Now, for some people, there is a moment like that, isn't there? A moment when it all comes together and makes sense. And in that moment, you take a step of faith. At Billy Graham's rallies, it was that decision to get up out of your seat and to walk down to the front and walk forward and stand in front of the stage and receive the Lord and his Spirit. Now, for others, it's a much more gradual process, isn't it? A growing up, perhaps even years of chewing it all over and gradually coming to realize that Jesus is Lord, the Son of God, the one who saves us. And so experts talk about, if you like, two ways of coming to faith. It could be a crisis conversion, like St. Paul on the Damascus Road, a moment when suddenly you see the light. Or perhaps on the other hand, a process conversion, a little bit more like, you remember the two disciples on the Emmaus Road who walked and talked with this stranger, and it took them a while to realize that this was the risen Jesus. It takes a bit longer for the penny to drop. Now, many of us, I think, need both of those. We need moments of realization and decision, but also perhaps time to think it through and to process it and to readjust our lives around God's priorities. But through all of this, I think there's one key question. Do you actually know the Lord? Because it's about relationship in the end. It's not about knowing facts, but it's about knowing a person. There are facts to know, of course, reading the gospel stories, the life of Jesus. Who was he? What did he say and do? Why did he come and live and die? And what's this story about rising from the dead? But as you read the facts and hear the story, you encounter a person, and he comes alive for you, and you begin a relationship with him. Now, maybe you know what I'm talking about, and it makes sense to you. Maybe you want to take that next step. Or maybe this sounds a bit different and new and strange, and you've not heard it before, and you want a bit of time to think it through. Well, either way, that's okay, but I'd encourage you to respond to God in the way that's right for you today. Don't dismiss it all, because what God wants is willing disciples, followers of Jesus. One preacher says that he looks out for fat people. F-A-T means faithful, available, and teachable. Faithful, in other words, they know and love Jesus. They've got a genuine faith in him. Available, they come and worship regularly. They come along to events when they're invited and asked. Teachable, they want to learn. They don't defend and resist and say, I'm all right. F-A-T, faithful, They're willing to stand and be counted for Jesus. They don't draw back in fear and British embarrassment and so on. Available, they put their hand up. They're willing to give time and energy when asked. Teachable, they're humble pilgrims on the way. They want to explore the faith and draw closer to God. So that's, for me, that's the takeaway from our readings today, that God wants willing disciples, followers of Jesus. So let us pray today that we might be those willing disciples, faithful, available, and teachable.